I think this has been a pretty good, this is a pretty good offer. You'll be getting $5,500,000 overall. And after all, we've been trying to get rid of this property for...
This is a suit for a brokerage commission brought by Leon Easily, a real estate broker.
I think that's pretty good.
Easily claims that the defendant, Mr. Letwin, orally commissioned him to negotiate the purchase of a shopping center. Easily says that after he had persuaded the owner to accept Letwin's offer, thus earning his commission, Letwin put him off for several days and finally backed out of the deal. Letwin claims that he never had any agreement with Easily, that Easily's story is an outright fabrication. Arthur Kramer, Letwin's lawyer, has learned that Easily apparently specializes in taking advantage of an exception to New York's statute of frauds, which enables a licensed real estate broker to enforce an oral agreement for a commission. In fact, Kramer has discovered that Easily has brought 8 other lawsuits for brokerage commissions in the last 2 years, all based upon alleged oral agreements.
And then I went over there. Odessa was very insistent. He wanted $5,650,000 and he didn't want anything less. And he wasn't going to pay any commission. So I said to Letwin, so that commission has got to come from you. Oh, he said, Leon, don't worry. Listen, you put that deal over, there's going to be a nice piece of change for you. Also, there'll be a little change for me, too.
That's what he said.
Yes, sir.
What did you do then?
Well, I then called Odessa. And I told him that Letwin was ready to pay $5,500,000. He said, no, no, no. I said, wait a minute, Mr. Odessa. Let me finish my thought. He's willing to pay $5,500,000 overall, but he'll pay $1,500,000 cash down payment.
He said, I like that proposition. I'll take it. You get Mr. Letwin to get his lawyer to meet with my lawyer, and we'll draw up a contract.
I said, all right, I'll do that.
And that's the end of that conversation.
Yes, sir.
Did you subsequently talk to Mr. Letwin again?
Yes, sir.
And when was that, sir?
I called him later in the week. I said to him, Mr. Letwin, what about the Odessa project? He said, the deal is off, Leon. I said, what are you talking about? We had a deal. We agreed on an offer. I made Mr. Odessa the offer, and he agreed. He accepted it. Now, that's a legitimate deal, and I have a commission coming. I said, well, Leon, I'm sorry. What can I do? I said, they said, maybe I'll take care of you some other way. What other way are you going to take care of me?
What about all my efforts? All the time that I put in? I put in 6 months there.
Your Honor, could we dispense with some of the histrionics and have the witness directed to answer the questions? He's relating a conversation. He can do it without all those theatrical gestures.
I can't account for my business.
No, quite right.
Your Honor, he's relating a conversation.
All right, now... If you could, just relate the facts.
Well, I'm a little hot under the collar.
We appreciate that, and do the best you can. Proceed.
Yes, sir.
Continue with you, sir. In your way.
Thank you, sir. He said, we'll take care of you some other way. So I said, how are you going to take care of me some other way for all the time and effort I put in? I said, who's going to pay the rent and food and clothes for my children? Buy the things I buy for my wife. Who's going to pay that commission? I had a big commission coming here. And I want that commission. He said, I'm sorry, Leon. I can do nothing about it.
And what did you say, sir?
I said, Mr. Lutwin, I'm going to sue you in court. He said, well, I'll see you in court.
Bear witness, Mr. Kramer. Mr. Easerly, you had two meetings with Mr. Letwin on June 14th, according to your testimony on direct examination.
That's right, sir.
And during that second conversation, he made this proposal to you, which you testified to, which involved a purchase money mortgage at 6% interest.
6% interest.
6% interest, and then there was to be an increase in the interest rate if the gross revenue from this particular property got over a certain amount, $600,000, I believe you said.
You hit it on the nail.
All right. Now, did you make any notes concerning the terms of this offer during your second conversation with Mr. Letwin?
No, sir. No.
And did you... asked Mr. Letwin to put the offer in writing.
Well, I don't know what he did.
The question is, did you ask him?
No, I didn't ask him that.
The answer is no. That's no question.
All right. Now, Mr. Letwin's secretary was sitting close by in the outer office, was she not? There was secretarial help available.
Yes.
In the office. All right. Did you ask Mr. Letwin to call his secretary in so that he could dictate a confirming letter setting forth the terms of this offer?
No, sir.
No. You relied completely on his oral statement as to the terms of this offer?
Yes, sir.
You trusted him?
Yes, I did.
Hadn't you, as a matter of your usual practice, submitted offers for properties of this magnitude in writing to the seller?
I'll object, Your Honor, to the usual, we're trying one case.
Well, Mr. Easerly, isn't it a fact that in dealing with Mr. Odessa on this particular property that you had in the past made offers in writing?
Objection, Your Honor. Sustained.
Now, isn't it a fact you have had occasion in many instances in recent years to be disappointed in placing your trust in real estate people and transactions of this nature?
I object, Your Honor.
Sustained. Disregard the question, members of the jury. Proceed.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Easerly, you've been a plaintiff in at least 8 other lawsuits involving brokerage commissions.
Sustained. Disregard the question.
Your Honor, may we approach the bench?
Come up, gentlemen.
It seems to me that with this kind of commission riding on the outcome, that it's incredible, inherently incredible, that he shouldn't have taken steps to have some confirmation either from the prospective purchaser or from the seller. Now, here we have...
It's a matter of to be brought out as an inference on summation, not right now.
Yes, but now, what has to be cranked into this whole equation is this is a man who has been frequently disappointed in the past. It's not credible that he should have continued to rely on oral arrangements when, as I can show, there have been 8 other instances, all within the last 2 or 3 years, when oral agreements have resulted in lawsuits.
You mean he's got 8 other lawsuits?
8 other lawsuits. Now, I must say that Mr. Nelson has been tutoring him on ways to avoid the New York statute of frauds and come in under the exception for brokers because Mr. Nelson is represented. Mr. Easerly, in each one of these cases, and they all of them turn on precisely the same sort of statements of fact.
Your Honor, may I be heard?
Yes, you may.
I'll ignore Mr. Kramer's insult.
Yes, we'll disregard that.
Mr. Kramer was not impugning your integrity.
Proceed.
Well, I'm glad you see it that way, Your Honor.
All right.
I do wreck your secrets.
All right. What's the difference?
In any event, getting to the point, The fact is, Mr. Kramer doesn't know much about the real estate business and how brokers work. They do work on, and they have to orally and move fast. It's inconceivable indeed for a broker to confirm all of this in writing. Inconceivable that Mr. Letwin or Mr. Odessa in a situation like this would sign anything into a final agreement if you know anything about the real estate market. But I'll go further, it's more key. The fact of the matter is that this man has brought suit. He's bucked the system. These real estate people think that brokers are so scared they won't sue. Beyond that, each one of these cases has different facts, Your Honor, and we've won two of them. Now, I'd be happy to try those two cases and any of the other cases, but I'm going to tell you we will be here till New Year's.
All right, go ahead. What do you want to say?
Your Honor, there's another factor here is that the plaintiff tells substantially the same case in each one of these cases. I've gotten copies of the depositions in some of those cases. I've gotten copies of the trial transcripts in others. And each one, at the critical moment, there is the prospective buyer or seller saying, there's a nice piece of change in it for you. You know, that's just...
Let me just... Mr. Kramer, I am going to rule against you.
May I have an offer of
proof? Yes, but let me finish first. You know, evidence of prior consistent transactions sometimes are admissible, but certainly the abuse is so great, I will not spend the next 5 months trying 8 other lawsuits to determine whether they are similar to this particular case. And that's my ruling. You have an exception. Take a reason. We'll let the jury go and I'll let you make an offer of proof. I don't want to prejudice you on any rights of appeal, all right. Will you, members of the jury, we will now take a recess. We have a question of law which we must determine, and as I've told you before, you are the triers of the facts. But on the other hand, I have to rule on the questions of law which doesn't concern you at the time. So we will take a short recess. Don't discuss the case among yourselves. Keep an open mind until you hear all of the evidence. You are now excused. All right, gentlemen, let's proceed. Let the record indicate that the jury has been excused. I'll hear your offer of proof, Mr. Kramer.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to have the record show some particulars concerning the other lawsuits in which the plaintiff here, Leon Easerly, has made claims for brokerage commissions based upon oral statements allegedly made by the defendants in those other cases. On December 2, 1970, Mr. Easerly filed a complaint alleging an oral hiring with respect to the renting of a store on Fifth Avenue. The case was tried here in 1973, and it resulted in a verdict for Mr. Easerly. At the trial, Mr. Easerly testified, and I have here, if Your Honor wishes to see it, a copy of the trial transcript that Mr. Stanley Borson of the defendant Longfellow Radio told him, quote, "Find us a nice store, Leon, and we will take it at a good rent. You will make yourself a nice bit of change," close quote. In August, to go to the second case, Your Honor, in 1970, Mr. Easerly commenced another act.
Mr. Schneider, what is your occupation?
I'm the president of the Schneider Realty Company. We own and operate realty properties.
Do you deal with other people in the real estate business in New York?
Our interests are primarily in New York. The answer is yes.
Do you know the reputation of the plaintiff in this case, Mr. Leon Easterly?
It's terrible.
Your Honor, I move to strike the answer in a direction the jury not to tolerate and listen to such garbage. And beyond that, Mr. Kramer ought to know that no one can testify in general to a thing like this.
Are you objecting, Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Sustained. Mr. Witness, when you see someone make an objection, refrain from answering the question until after I rule on the objection. Is that understood?
Yes, Your Honor.
Proceed.
Do you know the reputation in the New York real estate community of Mr. Easterly for truthfulness and veracity?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Your Honor, would you hear me on a point of law? I have prepared a memorandum which deals with this specific issue, that is, the right of a party in a civil case to call a witness who can testify concerning the reputation of one of the parties for truthfulness and veracity.
Come up here, please.
Do you want me, Your Honor?
Yes, Mr. Nelson, would you be so good as to approach the bench?
Your Honor, I call your attention specifically to the case of Elmendorf against Ross, a Third Department case, which was decided in 1927, but which remains the law in this state, and that is that in a civil case, reputation evidence may be adduced through an independent witness.
I think I am bound by this case. I've been trying to avoid going into collateral issues as much as I can, but I am bound by this 1927 case.
Your Honor, if Mr. Kramer puts in reputation testimony, I'll have to put in reputation testimony, and on the trial will go.
I know.
You do have discretion. I mean, point out that the federal rules, that, for example, has codified the rule, allows you, but pointedly throughout the rules and in the committee reports, the discretion of the trial judge to exclude evidence that would lead you astray, that would prejudice the jury without the probative value of any merit. And anyway, this fella, as my cross-examination will reveal, presents a special problem, and I just think you ought not to hear this.
I have ruled, Mr. Nelson, and you have an exception.
Mr. Schneider, do you know the reputation of the plaintiff in the New York real estate community for truthfulness and veracity?
Objection, Your Honor.
Overruled.
Yes, I do.
What is that reputation?
Objection, Your Honor. I don't think it's in any foundation either here.
Overruled. Proceed.
Reputation's bad. He's not to be trusted.
Your Honor, I object and move to strike that last bit about whatever it was.
Oh, I think I'll let it stand. It's not
Your Honor, would you direct the witness just to answer?
Yes, just to answer the question. Proceed.
Mr. Schneider, let me put the question to you this way. Based upon your knowledge of this man's reputation for truthfulness and veracity, would you believe him under oath?
Your Honor, that's no better. I object.
Sustain.
I wouldn't believe me, sir.
I sustain the objection.
Your Honor, again, if you would refer to the case of Elmendorf against Ross, the specific line of questioning is permitted.
All right. He's answered it three times already.
Well, he hasn't answered this specific
question. I'll sustain. Proceed.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Schneider, you're in what business?
Realty business.
And isn't it a fact, sir, that you have been sued by my client in this very same court? Isn't that a fact?
Just a minute. Mr. Kramer, would you like to object to that question?
Not at all, Your Honor.
Would you answer yes or no?
And answer the question.
Would you answer yes or no? Isn't it a fact that my client has sued you in this court?
Some of the same shenanigans.
The answer is yes, isn't it?
I answered the question.
Yes. And is it your shenanigans?
I didn't sue him. He sued me.
For your shenanigans, isn't that correct?
His.
That's your view, isn't it?
I'm answering your question.
You're prejudiced against this plaintiff, aren't you?
I'm telling the truth.
You don't like this plaintiff, do you?
I don't particularly like him, but I'm telling
the
truth.
Not at all, do you?
I'm answering your questions truthfully.
And you didn't like it when you were sued, did you?
Didn't like it because it was an improper suit.
You didn't like it a bit. You didn't like it from the
moment. All right, you didn't like it. Proceed, Mr. Nelson.
Now, you testified about reputation. Before this suit that was brought against you, you had business dealings with my client, didn't you?
Yes.
And you didn't, before your suit, and while you were dealing with my client, you didn't think that his reputation was so bad, did you?
Not until after he did what he did.
I understand. Until you were sued, isn't that
No,
right?
Before I was sued. As soon as I found that he lied and was untrustworthy.
Is that your testimony?
Yes, that's my testimony. He lied and he was untrustworthy.
The fact of the matter is, in your view, that's so.
No, that's a fact.
That's a fact as you view it, isn't
that
right?
A fact is a fact, not a view.
Now, you had business dealings with my client, didn't you?
Yes.
And when you entered into business dealings with him as a seasoned real estate man, you hadn't heard anything bad about his reputation, did you?
I just met him. I didn't know what kind of reputation he had.
You hadn't heard anything bad at that time. Would you answer that question?
Hadn't heard anything bad or good.
You just dealt with him?
Sure, like any other broker who comes in.
Thank you.
Redirect, Your Honor.
Yes, proceed.
Mr. Schneider, in this lawsuit that Mr. Nesson has questioned you about, which was brought against you by Mr. Easterly, did he make a claim in that case that his contract with you was closed, as it were, by your statement to him, Leon, you're going to earn yourself a nice bit of change?
Your Honor, I'm going to object to that. I move to strike the answer. The witness knows when I stand up that I'm objecting, but again he answers.
You opened it up, Mr. Nelson. I've got no choice but to let Mr. Kramer explore the subject fully.